Today's scripture text come from the book of Acts chapter 10. I'm going to reread this for the sake of emphasis. The book of Acts chapter 10, verses 34 and 35. Acts chapter 10, beginning at verse number 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." Today's lesson topic that I chose for this morning is segregation anxiety. Segregation anxiety. Dr. King is known as saying that the most segregated moment here in America is 11 o'clock a.m. on Sunday morning. And sadly, we witness that on a daily basis. We read in the Bible that there is only one church, but our physical experiences seem to say something else. We hear about the black church. We hear about the white church. Not only do we hear about it, we often use those words in our everyday talk when we refer to the Lord's church throughout the brotherhood. The current state of these ununited states of America have many blacks, including black Christians, looking for refuge, looking for reassurance, and they're looking for restoration, and they're often turning to congregations that look like them. And we know that often we want to be with people who look like us. We want to be around those who have the same experiences as us. But as we look in the scriptures, we'll find that we cannot segregate ourselves from other races who are also members of the body of Christ. For there is but one church. We know that we are all one in Christ. And once again, our experiences in the world, they cause us to question and second guess. It causes us some distress and sadly some distrust. And therefore, it causes some segregation anxiety. My lesson this morning has 3 points. Point number one, is this the plan for the church? Should there be segregation in our local congregations? Point number two, should we keep to our own race? Should there be a black church of Christ? And should there be a white church of Christ? And last but not least, a question that we often see and a question that we're often faced with, as I spoke with Brother Cunningham on Friday, is Christianity the white man's religion? Is Christianity something that's only reserved for one particular race and all others kind of just join the party by coincidence or circumstance? So my first point, is it best for the Church of Christ, the local congregations, to be segregated? You know, sadly, we hear about mixed congregations, but they're not mixed, in all honesty. They're merely mixed congregants. You have black and white members in the congregation, but when you look at those who participate in the worship service, when you look at those in leadership, you don't see that mixed that they proclaim. If you have a congregation that's predominantly white, you might see only white members participating in the worship service. You only see white membership. If you're in a predominantly black church and there are white members in that congregation, you may see only black members in the pulpit. You only find black members in leadership. You might find a black elder who's in charge of the black members. You'll have a white elder that's in charge of the white members. And this is not the way the church is to be. So is it best for local congregations to be segregated? Well, let's take a look. Let's look at John chapter 17, beginning at verse number 20. John 17 and verse number 20.
I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word.
In verse 21.
That they may all be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me.
So we see in verse number 20, Jesus is saying a prayer. Jesus is praying, and we see in verse 21, he's praying for unity. We should all be one. There shouldn't be a split within a congregation. There shouldn't be the black members who sit in one area and the white members who sit in one area. Whether it's suggested or some kind of coincidence that certain members sit in a certain spot in the church building. Jesus prays that we be one. He prays that we be united. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and see what Paul has to say about the matter. Ephesians chapter 4, we'll read verses 1 through 3.
I, therefore, prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with longsuffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace.
As Christ's church, we should be working to maintain the unity of the church. We cannot work against what Christ has designed. We cannot work against the will of Christ. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 25, Jesus tells us that a house divided cannot stand. A house that's divided cannot stand. He further says that a kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. So congregations that are racially divided have only one destiny, according to Christ. Congregations where blacks and whites are separated have only one destiny. Congregations where there's one black elder or a black minister who's in charge of the black members, they might even call it urban outreach is what they might call it. But if you're in charge of the black members and you have a white elder or white minister in charge of the white members, you only have one destiny. And the Bible says that you're destined for destruction. So is it best for congregations to be segregated? Is it best for white congregations for a white church to have white members sit in one area and black members be in another? Of course not. It goes against the very principles of Christ, and it goes against his church. Plessy versus Ferguson in 1896, it made separate but equal the legal stance in this congregation. In the United States. In this case, it was said that if things are separate racially, as long as they are the same, as long as they are equal, it was okay. But let's look in Matthew chapter 15, beginning at verse number 8. Matthew chapter 15 and verse number 8.
These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips.
Yes.
But their heart is far from me.
Verse 9.
And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.
The commandments of men at this time was separate but equal. That was the commandments of men. But Christ says, you know what? You can't do that. I have my own doctrine. You cannot have the commandments of men be accepted in the church. So therefore, separate but equal is unscriptural. Having a black church and a white church is unscriptural. Not only must congregations be unified, but the entire body of Christ, nationally and internationally, must be united. There are many who feel that blacks need to worship with blacks at a black congregation. If you don't like the way we do things here, there's another congregation that does things the way you like it. There are many who think that whites should just stick to a white congregation. And if you don't like the way we sing songs here, you should go to a white congregation. That is not scriptural. We should all be together. It should not matter what congregation you go to. You should be welcome because we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's look in the book of Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15 and verse number 1.
And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved.
All right, so in verse number 1, we see that there are Jews who are trying to put some things onto these Gentiles. If you want to worship with us, then you got to be circumcised. We often see in some congregations, if you want to worship with us, you have to sing this way. If you want to worship with us, you have to speak this way. If you want to worship with us, you have to pray this way. And this is nothing new. We see in the book of Acts that the Jews were doing the same exact thing. If you want to be a real Christian, they're saying you got to be circumcised. Let's go forward to verses 5. Let's read verses 5 through 10 of Acts 15.
But some of the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up, saying, it is necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. Now the apostles and elders came together to consider this matter. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them his Holy Spirit, just as he did to us, and made no distinction between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith.
All right, in verse 10.
Now, therefore, why do you test God? By putting a yoke on the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?
So here we see Peter saying, you're trying to put these things on these Gentiles. You're trying to have the Gentiles, do things that we know that is not in the scripture. You're putting these extra steps upon them in order to be accepted among you. And Peter's saying, we don't have the right to do that. We don't have the right to cause this division in the church. We don't have the right to put these extra steps on these members who want to worship among us. Yes. And so we don't have the right in today's church to do the same. We cannot refuse members to worship with us because they don't look like us. We cannot refuse members to worship with us because they don't talk like us. They don't have the same upbringing as us. They were raised in the same neighborhoods as us. And that happens among us Black folks also. We're sitting at a park with our kids having a good time, and some more of us show up. Oh, here we come. Oh, here it goes. And this is us. This is our people. But because they may have come from a different background, maybe they're raised in the city and we're raised in the suburbs, we begin to put these things on them. You can't hang out with us because of where you're from. You can't be around us because of what your potential background is, because we don't know their story. But we assume these things upon them. The Jews were the exact same way. They didn't want the Gentiles around. They didn't want the Gentiles to be in the congregation. So they said, you know what? If you really want to be with us, you got to be circumcised. And I think they knew that this is going to turn them away. They won't want to hang out with us if you put this on them. And so Peter immediately put that to rest. So no matter the demographic of your congregation, it's God's word that unifies us. It's not the color of our skin that makes us one church. It is not our economic background that makes us one church. It is not our social standing or our social circles that makes us one church. It's our faith. It is God. Let's go through a few verses that talks about this. Let's look in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll read verses 10 through 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Verses 10 through 13. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you are perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. Paul says, y'all got to be the same. You have to be together. Verse 11, for it has been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are at the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Word is getting out. Word is spreading. It's some problems going on in Corinth. You're supposed to be thinking the same thing. You're supposed to be doing the same thing, but we have some divisions in the church. Verse 12, now this I say, that every one of you said, I am of Paul, and I am Apollos, and I am Cephas, and I am Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Are ye baptized in him of Paul? Paul is saying, why are you causing these problems when it shouldn't even be there? Paul goes on to say, as if he's frustrated, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, because this is ridiculous. The division that you're causing in Christ's church. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 1. Ask Brother Webster to read that for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 1.
Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also.
All right. As we see in verse number 1, as I have given order to the saints, so do ye. We see here that Paul is saying no one has special qualifications. No one has special instructions. Just like I told the church in Galatia, I'm telling the church in Corinth to do the same thing. We are all united in Christ. But we had a little situation in the book of Galatians. Peter was acting funny. Peter was around certain saints, and when other folk came around, Peter wanted to separate himself. Let's look in the book of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11.
Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him face to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles.
Let's stop right there. So Peter was just fine eating with the Gentiles. He was having a good time, sitting down, eating, talking, congregating, maybe telling a few jokes. Read on.
But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision.
All right, verse 13.
And the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy.
Here we have a problem. The Jews who were recently baptized, they see, well, Peter clearly does not believe in integration. Peter's pretending to like the Gentiles, and we're supposed to be worshiping with the Gentiles. But when the Jews come around, now Peter's like, I can't be with y'all. I can't have them see you. I can have them see you with me. So they separated themselves. Peter got up and moved to another table. And the new converts, the newly converted Jews saw Peter do this and they followed his example. This upset Paul. Paul's trying to maintain the unity of the church. No matter the background of the Christians, Paul is saying, we got to be together. And Peter, you're the man, you preached the first gospel sermon. The Lord gave you the keys of the kingdom. What are you doing, Peter? These people, they look to you for leadership and they're seeing you pretty much practice racism. You say that we're all one. You say that you're a follower of Christ, but Christ would never do this. Christ would never get up and go sit with someone else because he's afraid of what the people might think. Jesus taught us to always do what's right. I'm going to pause here. So Jesus taught us to always do what's right. Jesus also taught us that whenever we do something wrong, no matter the circumstance, when we wrong a brother or sister in Christ, as Christians, we should go to that brother or sister in Christ and confess our faults. So I have a fault to confess, and I want to do this now before I go further. Talk about it later. The last and final point that I want to discuss. This is a rather controversial point, and it causes many Christians, Black Christians especially, to leave the congregation. It causes many Black Christians to leave the body of Christ. It causes many saints to get weary. And we saw the same thing in Galatians. We saw when the Jews, the newly converted Jews, they left. My third and final point is Christianity the white man's religion? Is Christianity the white man's religion? There are many who believe that Christianity is only for the white man. There are many who believe that Christianity was started by the white man and it is his to claim and it is his to decide what we can or cannot do in the church. And this is fueled mostly by, number one, colonialism, and number two, by white supremacy, racial prejudices, and the many images of the white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus. This leads to friction, and it leads to conflict when there are educated, liberated, and illuminated Blacks in the church. If I'm so welcome in the church, how come there's no one like me? We don't talk about the Ethiopian eunuch. Who was converted in the book of Acts from Ethiopia? That is in Africa. The Jim Crow laws, both past and present, they created a system where Blacks and other people of color were inferior and they were subservient to whites. And unfortunately, there are some who believe that has a place here in the church. This way of thinking creates an environment where those of color feel like I don't have a role here in this congregation. I don't have a role in the church. And despite my spiritual qualifications, I can't be an elder. I cannot be in leadership because there are those in the world who tell me that Christianity is not for me. And I'm not saying there are only whites telling Blacks Christianity is not for you. There are Blacks telling other Blacks that Christianity is not for you. Now, whether these laws of division are personal or local laws, they have no place and they have no jurisdiction in the Lord's church. Man has nothing to do with and therefore has no right to determine who is and is not welcome. Let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 12.
Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees.
Verse 13.
When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?"
Jesus wants to know, so what's the word out on the street? Who are people saying that I am? What are the thoughts? What are the ideas? What's the gossip out on the street about who I am? Verse 14.
So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.
Verse 15.
He said to them, but who do you say that I am?
So they told, some will think you're John the Baptist. Some think you're Elijah. Some think you're Jeremiah. Some think you're just one of the prophets. Jesus says, okay, all right. Now, who do you think that I am? Verse 16.
Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen. Verse 17.
Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jona.
Yes.
For flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven.
Jesus is saying, you didn't get this from man, Peter. This knowledge that I'm the Christ, the Son of the living God, this did not come from man. This came from God. No man came up with this. No man created my image. No man created God. No man created my ministry. All the things that I do and everything that I am about, according to verse 17, this all comes from God. Verse 18.
And I also say to you that you are Peter.
Yes.
And on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.
The church does not belong to any man, any race here on earth. The church belongs to Christ. And Christ says in verse 17, and any information you get about this church, it does not come from man. No man thought of this. No man invented the church. All of this came from God. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 23, where Paul lets people know, I did not receive this doctrine from man. I got it from God. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 23.
For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread.
So when he's talking about the Lord's Supper, no man made this up. No man created the communion. No man created how we worship. Paul says, I did not get this from man. I got it from God. No man can create. No man can take over the church because it did not belong to man. It did not begin with man. And it most definitely, according to Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, it will not end with man. So it is not a white man's religion because it does not belong to just whites. It did not come from a white man, it came from God. The black man did not create the church came from God. And as we saw in Acts chapter 10 and verse number 34, God is no respecter of persons. Let's go back. You do a little backstory for Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. We're gonna read Acts 10 and 34.
Then Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him.
So we heard and we read about Peter in the book of Galatians when he made his mistake. Early in the book of Acts, in a dream, God shows Peter many, many foods on a blanket. And Peter says, I'm not eating that. That's unclean. I ain't never ate that stuff, God. You know, I don't touch that stuff. And God says, nothing that I created, don't you dare call unclean. Don't you dare think that anything that I create is unacceptable to you because it came from me. And as Peter accepts this, he comes into Cornelius' house, and Cornelius wants to accept Christ as his savior. Cornelius wants to be saved. And Peter finds and Peter discovers that, you know what? God does not care whether you're a Jew or a Gentile. But in verse number 35, in every nation, he that fears him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. And it says every nation, not just European nations, not just Asian nations, not just African nations, but Paul says that every nation that fears him, as long as you have this fear and respect for God and you do things according to his will, God accepts you. So you cannot just take over the church. You cannot change the church. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9, Peter says that God doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to repent. The church is for everybody. So is it a white man's religion? No, it is not. It does not belong to the white man. It all started with God, and God is no respecter of persons. So someone might be able to colonize a nation. They might be able to gentrify a city. They might be able to silence a people. They may be able to ignore a movement, but they cannot touch the church. Because the church is not theirs to change, and the church is not theirs to determine who can and cannot be saved. The church is for everyone. And the method of entry is the same for everyone. The step to salvation is the same for everyone. We read earlier where the Jews want to tell the Gentiles, okay, yeah, you were baptized, but you also got to be circumcised. And Peter reminded them that's nowhere in the teachings and the doctrine of Christ. So we know that first you have to hear. Find that in Romans 10, 17. We have to believe. Find that in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 10. You must repent. Repent simply means you have to change your current relationship with Christ. You have to change your current condition. We find that in Acts chapter 2 and 30 where it says, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You need to confess. Again, found in Romans chapter 10 and verse number 10, and then you must be baptized. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 38. These steps are the same for everyone. So this segregation anxiety that some feel, what if I'm not accepted at that church? I don't look like them. I don't sing like them. I'm afraid they're going to treat me differently. I'm afraid my children might experience racism. Don't let someone else keep you out of heaven. Don't let someone else's prejudices and racial views keep you from eternal life. For the word of God, the way of God, and the kingdom of God is for everyone, no matter your race, no matter your background, no matter where you come from, socially or economically, the church is for everyone. This doctrine, this gospel is for everyone. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, at this time, as we conclude this sermon, conclude this lesson, we pray that as this lesson learns, the teachings will live on forever in our hearts. That we will practice the things that you teach us. That we will use your Bible on a daily basis to govern our minds, to govern our lips, to govern our actions. Lord, as we continue on through this worship service, we pray that we continue to focus on you, Heavenly Father, and give you the praise that you so ultimately deserve. And your Son, Jesus, and we pray and give thanks for your many blessings. Amen.